Good day, friends. Again we come to you. Studies in the book of Genesis. And we are in chapter 28 of this remarkable book of beginnings. And we've been dealing with Jacob at Bethel in our last lesson. You remember he'd run away from home. His mother had to take a choice between Jacob dead, killed by his brother, or to send her son into exile. And you remember he was in exile 20 years. He never again saw his mother, and she never again saw her son. That is on earth. And he's running away, and the first night he fell asleep. After he received a blessing from Isaac, away he went. He has nothing at all. He's bankrupt, running away from home, trying to get away from his brother. And you remember we have where Jacob is asleep in the dust. We were discussing in our last session the covenant giving, verses 10 to 15. Amazing thing. Helpless. And God appears, stands by him. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. We were discussing this in our last lesson of how God has made provision between earth and heaven for man to be fitted for the presence of God. By the way, in John 1:51, you remember the Lord Jesus said to Nathanael, "You believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these. You'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Ah, friend, the ladder between earth and heaven has been bridged. That is, the gap between earth and heaven. Earth with its sinfulness and corruption. And death, where death reigns. And the eternal glory of God has been met by Jesus Christ. The gap has been bridged. God has made the provision. Oh, I want to get that into your hearts. It was when Jacob was in the dust of the earth, totally helpless and bankrupt, that God said, "I'm the Lord God of your father Abraham and Isaac. And I'm going to give you this land. And your seed is going to be like the dust of the earth for multitude. And in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Wonderful, wonderful promise. Threefold promise. Do you remember it? I'll give you this land. Your seed is going to be like the dust of the earth. And in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The promised Messiah is going to come through Jacob. And through him all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And then the Lord's promise in verse 15. Amazing thing. "I'm going to be with you, Jacob. Thou worm Jacob, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll keep you. I'll bring you back again to this land. And I'll never leave you." What's the Lord declaring? The Lord's declaring, "I'm with you because I want your fellowship. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to protect you from all the dangers en route. I'm going to bring you back to this land. I'm going to be your guide. I'll guide thee with mine eye. And I'll never leave you." Oh, the faithfulness of God. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Don't forget that Jacob was the wanderer of the patriarchs. And you and I can have the same promise in Hebrews 13:5-6. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And then the marvelous thing at the end, I will never leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of. What had he spoken? "I'll give you this land. Your children will be like the dust of the earth for multitude. And I'll never leave you till I finish the job." See, now how is it going to react to Jacob? Starting in at verse 16. By the way, before I take it up, may I suggest again to you, all that we have, our salvation, our hope, our prospects are based upon the faithfulness of God, who is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One. God's going to accomplish his purpose in you. He's going to accomplish his purpose in me. Well, Brother Mitchell, why has God leave me down here? I'm doing nothing. I'm old. I'm sick in body. I'm getting nearly blind. Why does the Lord leave me here? Until he finishes his purpose in you. But who am I? Well, you're nothing like I am nothing, like Jacob in the dust. It's what God loves to do. I tell you, if you want to see the power of God operate, the blessing of God, when you and I get to the place where we are, recognize what we really are. No power, no strength, just the dust of the earth. Helpless concerning spiritual realities. Then God comes on the scene and meets our need. Oh, the faithfulness of God. How did it affect Jacob? Let us look at it. Verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep when he said, surely the Lord is in this place? And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Let me just stop there for a moment. An amazing thing. The presence of God, the house of God, the gate of heaven. And he was scared stiff. He was afraid. How dreadful is this place? The gate of heaven, a dreadful place? The house of God, a dreadful place? Something's wrong. And that's with Jacob. God has just manifested infinite grace. But Jacob can't action grace. He can't rest in the grace of God. Why should he be afraid? Why should he be afraid? Because he knew what he was himself. He had come to the place where his eyes were open to what he was in himself. He's afraid to stand in the presence of God. Are you? Are you? Listen, friend. One of these days, you're going to stand in the presence of God. Whether you want to or no. You know, I've talked to people about their relationship to the Savior. And I've had men say, well, Mitchell, I'll take my chance. And I generally say, mister, you don't have any chance. You don't have any chance. John 3:36 says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Don't have any chance. In Romans chapter 3, 19 and 20, you know what Paul says? Every man stands before God with his mouth shut, guilty. You hear the pronouncement, guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by works, no man will be justified. No man will be fitted to come into the presence of God on the ground of his own works, or even the keeping of the law, or keeping of the golden rule. Every man's mouth is shut. My friend, you're already condemned as a sinner. But I haven't done very much sin. That's neither here nor there. If I were to go by the law of God, I would say he that breaketh the law in one point is guilty of all. Galatians says, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I again come back to it when Jacob, running away from his father and his mother and from his brother, especially from his brother, in the dust of the earth, he's alone. He doesn't have a retinue of servants with him. He's not riding camels as far as I know. He hits it off to go to Laban, 500 or 600 miles away, to get away from the anger of his brother. He takes a rock for his head, for his pillar. God stands by him. When he comes to, after God making the promise, I'll be with you, I'll never leave you, I'll guard you, I'll guide you, I'll direct you, I'll bring you back to this place. He said, how dreadful is this place? He's afraid. Would you be afraid, my friend, if you were to be ushered right now into the presence of God? Mr. Mitchell, you're trying to scare me.
No, I'm not trying to scare you.
I want you to know some facts. The fact is that you can't do anything to fit yourself for the presence of God. The wonderful thing is God has made the provision. That's what I'm appealing to you for. God is the Savior. God has made provision whereby you can be fitted to enter the glory, into the very presence of God. God has made the provision. As we were saying in the preceding verses, God was the one who made the connection between heaven and earth. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas says, we don't know the way. I am the way. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth that sets you free. I am the life. Ah, friend, I wish you would listen to me. I don't know where you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've done. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know a thing about you. But I'll tell you one thing. God does. He knows all about you. And in wonderful, infinite grace, he's offering to you an eternal, perfect, complete salvation. So that when you come in the presence of God, you won't be afraid. You won't be afraid. Well, I've had that happen here in this country, in this city. Well, I was pastor of a church. At a prayer meeting one night, a man came in, a young man, about 24, 25. He said to me, is Miss So-and-so here tonight? And I said, I don't think so. He said, Mitchell, I was in this meeting tonight. By the way, when I looked at him, I was very glad she was not there that night. He said, Mitchell, I was in your meeting. I said, yeah, I saw you there. It was hell to me. Oh, I said, it was kind of heaven to me. And it can become heaven to you. Amazing thing, isn't it? That here on earth, men don't want to be in a prayer meeting. They don't want to be in a place where the word of God is declared. Why? If they can't stand the people of God in their frailty on earth, how in the world are they going to stand in the presence of a righteous, holy God? I tell you again, if God doesn't make the provision, it'll never be made. Now let's look down. Poor Jacob. How dreadful is this place? What place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillars, and he set it for a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it and called the name of that place Bethel, house of God. The name of the city was called Luz at first. Now he's in fellowship with God. See, he built an altar with that stone. He didn't have a sacrifice. That's why I don't believe he had any animals with him. What did he do? He poured oil on the top of the stone. He called it Bethel, the house of God. Now here's the bargainer, verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. What a bargainer. I hope you're not like Jacob. You know, and by the way, may I say this, God did not keep his word because Jacob bargained with him. When God made this promise to him, when God gave him these things, it was absolutely unconditional. Absolutely unconditional. Whether it be verses 13 to 14, or verse 15, the promise of him being with him and caring for him and guiding him and protecting him. All unconditional. All that we have in Christ, my friend, is unconditional. On the ground of you putting your trust All God wants of Jacob is to put his trust in God. A-L-O-N-E, alone. But no, sir, he's got a bargain. You see, he was a natural bargainer. He bargained with Esau and got the birthright. He deceived his father and got the blessing. Do you think he's going to do the same thing with God? But I've had people today do the same thing. Lord, why don't you bless me? See what I've done for you. See what I've done for you. My friend, God doesn't bless you on what you do for him. He blesses you in wonderful sovereign grace. He wants to draw you to himself. Just like God stood by Jacob, he stands by you. What he wants is you. But we're too much like Jacob. He vowed a vow. If God would be with me, didn't God say he would be with him? And if God will keep me in this way that I go, didn't God say he would care for him? And give me bread to eat and raiment to put on? And I come back to my father's house in peace. Didn't God say I'll bring you back to this place? With no ifs or ands about it. God said, that's what I'm going to do. You've got that in verses 13 through 15. Oh, the human heart. We would rob God of glory. We'd bargain with God. If you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. And if you do this for me, you'll be my God. The amazing thing is the grace of God, the patience of God with this man Jacob. I marvel at the patience of God with us today. Don't you? Don't you? If I come again to my father's house, then the Lord shall be my God. He's not through yet. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. How generous, isn't he? Lord, if you give me $100, I'll give you $10 back. Bargaining with God. And I'm going to be blunt and say this to you today. I've had tracts across my desk, and I've heard preachers say to their people, God will not be in your debt. If you give him so much, he'll give you so much back. So you give for the purpose of getting from God. You're like Jacob. You're just like Jacob. I don't believe that's biblical one little bit. I don't think it's spiritual either. If God says, I'm going to do this for you, he's going to do it in sovereign grace. You don't need to bargain with God. Well, doesn't the Bible say we should give a tenth? Yes, under the law, you should give 3/10. If you're going to go down into the question of giving a part of what you have to God, the Jews were to give 3/10. 1/10 they owed. Then they were to give their first fruits. And then they were to give a gift to the temple. We think we're generous. Oh, I tell you, my Christian friend, I know God will not be in debt to you. I'm well aware of that fact. But sometimes I wonder if we have missed a great deal of walking with God. Lord, if I do this for you, what will you do for me? You don't know very much about the grace of God. Oh, he just showers upon us. I've got to say this as a personal testimony. I'm ever amazed at the faithfulness of God. You can't beat God in giving. That's true. But if I'm a real steward of what God has given to me, it's not a question how much I keep for myself. It's what I'll do with his bidding. What does God want you to do? Listen to this man, Jacob. If you do all this for me, I'll give you a tenth back. This is a bargain. Do you want to bargain with God on material things? And yet, I'll tell you, my friend, this materialistic philosophy has so got a hold of this country and the world for that matter, and it's even sneaked over, shall I say, it's lapped over into the Church of Christ. And we miss spiritual power, spiritual blessing. We miss the very presence of God in our experience because we want to bargain with God. And yeah, I know people will say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I gave so much to the Lord, and look what he gave me back. That may be true. That's under the grace of God. But don't bargain with God and say, Lord, if I give you a tenth, will you give me... If you give me so much, I'll give you a tenth back. It belongs all to God in the first place. What I'm pleading for is that we Christians will walk before God. And all that we have, our bodies, our minds, our affections, our devotion, whatever material things we have, in the final analysis, belong to God. And he's made you and me stewards of the wonderful grace of God, even this grace of giving. And so I just plead with your heart today, when you read this 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, read it over and over again, especially the 28th chapter. Look at the grace of God. I marvel, absolutely marvel at the grace of God. And I just plead with your heart today to walk with the Savior. Remember, he says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll meet your need. I'm El Shaddai. I'm your Savior. I'm your Lord. And I've made you the objects of my love. And what I want your love to respond to my love. This is what he wants. Now you live today just like that, will you? Just for today. Live, walk with him. And the Lord wonderfully, wonderfully bless you for his name's sake.